Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go. Let's do this. Grant Cosell is indeed on in 1 hour, and you're going no notes?
No notes.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah, I actually texted the group thread about some plays that I do want to ask him about.
I remember seeing that.
And I do think that he'll have his own thoughts, but... You know, a game like that is much easier to get into with Greg Cosell because they were almost all positive plays.
They were. So, yeah, Greg Cosell in an hour. Obviously, we're heading for an NBA Cup game, and we'll actually handle Warriors live tonight at 5:30. So the Warriors are in Houston. The floor is red. I don't know if you saw the video of the team workout earlier today. Floor is red, and lots on the line. And I say that somewhat sarcastically. But we wanted to start with this, and we very, very much would love your interaction right out of the gate. 888-957-9570. Call right now if you want to discuss this with regard to Jonathan Kuminga. Is the team truly now believing in Jonathan Kuminga, or are they showcasing him? Before I play for everybody what Anthony Slater said on the morning roast earlier today, how would you answer that question? Do you think with this new role and now Draymond and Steph are in press conferences talking about how Kuminga is him and he is the next one and all of this, do you take this at face value? Does the organization have a sudden new and full belief in Jonathan Kuminga, or are they simply in part showcasing him?
They're showcasing him. And if you really thought that he was him, then you would have made a move in the offseason. I don't believe that these 20 games that they've had with Jonathan Kuminga, and it's actually 23 games they've played, whatever the number is, that he's actually been out there and been dominant. I don't think that this sample size has opened their eyes to the reality that, oh my God, he is him. I mean, 23 games later, and now you've seen it, and what you've seen from Kuminga is 3 or 4, maybe 5 games of, wow, he's really, really good. And, 10 games of, yeah, he's a good player. And then another 5 or 6 of, man, he doesn't really fit.
Right.
And he hasn't really found his way. So is the organization suddenly now all in on Kuminga being him? I don't believe that. So, and I don't know if they necessarily went to Steph and Draymond and said, hey, we need you to go out there and get your pom-poms, get to the press conference, and pump him up. I don't believe that either. I do think that they're excited for the young player, but I also believe that this team is playing him because he's playing well and they want to win games. But at the same time, by doing that, it does inflate his value in the open market.
I'm most fascinated by the Steph and Draymond part of it. And I'm with you. I don't think that they've been asked to follow some sort of a script, but I do think that Steph and Draymond have reached the point in their careers where they are partial executives. You know what I mean? We heard Draymond in the offseason. I told them that was a bad trade. Don't do that. It's a bad trade. They do give their input, and they are watching, and they are the ones who I think that they know when they see a championship player. They think that, I'm not saying they're right every time either, just like every other human, but they think they know when they see someone that can help them win a championship. And I would argue that here in year four, they're still not convinced on Jonathan Kuminga. I'd also argue that's too long. That's too long. And so where did this come from? All of the sudden, last week. It's like, now we love Jonathan Kuminga. Now? And then he responded, I'll grant you that, he responded with, I would argue, actually, the only game where you really said, wow, his career high, I think it was 33. That, there have been other good moments, but that was the only game where you're like, damn, dude, that was your ball game. One time. And so now here we are, all talking about Jonathan Kuminga, and take a listen to what Anthony Slater said to the roast earlier today about JK.
This is like information season right now for the Warriors on Jonathan Kuminga, and not just for the Warriors. It's for Kuminga to find out who he is in the league. The Warriors need to find out. The league needs to find out. He has a contract situation coming up. The trade market's going to develop. And, you know, you might even argue it's, you know, I think most people would argue it's, they've waited too long to find out more about Jonathan Kuminga. But I think Steph Curry and Draymond Green want to know for, you know, several reasons. Can he be, you know, all the way up to the playoff level, like the type of number two scorer that they're going to need to compete in the first round, second round, third round? Or, you know, is it wiser for him to maybe go explore that elsewhere? And could he potentially be a trade piece at the deadline? I think we are going to find out more over the next couple months, partly because they finally, you know, let off the brake pedal a little bit, and they're going to allow us to all find out more about it.
You know what phrase I'm starting to get a little tired of with Jonathan Kuminga? Quote, we're going to find out. When is Gunna going to get here? That's what I want to know. When are we going to get? This is year four, and this is not the first time that they have started using Jonathan Kuminga. I understand that all of a sudden there's the whole conversation about coming off of the bench, and now it's going to be a starting role, and Draymond even had one game where he was off the bench, and when everyone gets healthy, maybe that'll happen some more here and there. But we already last year had the night where Shams sent out the tweet and said JK has no more faith left in Steve Kerr. And from that moment forward, what'd they do? They played him a whole lot of minutes.
The next night they did.
They did for a while. I mean, for the rest of the season.
Well, it's because Draymond was hurt.
No, so, but the rest of the season last year, his minutes were way up.
They were up, but yeah, mainly when Draymond was out. And by and large, I do think that it's a byproduct of the fact that they didn't have a lot of help last year, and Wiggins missed some games, and so you had to have JK. The whole idea about finding out, I think that the organization already knows. And the whole thing about, oh, the Warriors need to find out about Jonathan Kuminga. If you really knew about Jonathan Kuminga, if you thought that he was a future one, you would have inked him to a deal last year in the offseason. I look at Moses Moody. Do you think that they knew last offseason about Moses Moody, what they thought about Moses?
Yes.
And they gave him 3-39. And Moses took it because he realized, this is good money, and this is probably the player I am for now. And so the team, I think, they knew about Moses Moody. They didn't have to find out about Moses. And I mean, do think that they understand about Jonathan Kuminga, and Kuminga wanted a lot more than the team wanted to pay him. And so for the team, it was, we kind of know who you are as a player, so go out there and be that player, and maybe somebody else will give you big money.
It's a little bit different because, I mean, Moses played college basketball. I think part of this is that JK is so raw, and so everybody knew that he was kind of a project. And so you get a little bit more time to see if you're really, really going to pop. But that's kind of what I'm interested in exploring right now with Jonathan Kuminga. This newfound Let's give him a lot of minutes. Let's talk about him a lot after the game. Is that actually coming from a genuine place? And we did just get this text, Comcast Business text line. I like it. I agree with this. He says, 813, it's not one or the other, Mark. They're showcasing him because they believe in him. I'd say it a little bit of a different way because I don't know if they believe in him yet, like fully. There's no question left as to whether or not Jonathan's good. Everybody knows Jonathan's good. I think the question everyone wants to get to is if they're upside to greatness, or is this a piece that they should use to help the current crop? That's the question. And yes, you can scratch both itches at the same time. Showcasing him and believing in him, I guess today, December 11th, those are the same thing.
Of course.
That
of
means course. Putting him in the game a whole lot.
Well, it's if he's playing well, then you put him in the game and you play him a whole lot because it helps you win. And that's ultimately what you want, no matter if it's this year, next year, or the year after that. You want to win basketball games. And if he's playing like he has over the last couple of weeks, then you play him because he's playing really well. And if that also means that other teams are going to look at him and go, wow, he had 33 in a win over Houston, and he came back with 20 when Steph and Draymond were there, and this guy's actually, maybe he's taking the next step, and if the Warriors don't want to pay him, maybe we do. And so, yeah, you're serving both masters at the same time, and that's the ideal. You play a guy because he's playing well, and you also play him because you want other teams to see that he's playing well, and you get to the deadline, or you get before the deadline, and teams are going to come knocking on your door for him.
It's fascinating, man. It's fascinating that Slater said it's information gathering time on Kuminga, but that's not just for the Warriors, it's for everybody. It's for the entire league to figure out who this guy is. If I've got to lean in one direction right now, again, admitting that you can kind of do the same thing together at the same time, but if I force the Warriors into almost like a prediction, what right now, today, what do you think is your best way of using the asset that is Jonathan Kuminga? I think it's showcasing him for a trade. I'm stunned at how much trade chatter there is surrounding the Golden State Warriors. And those of you listening, I don't know how much other stuff or Warriors-related content you consume. I don't know how much you're on the internet. I don't know how much you're on social media. I don't know how much you're watching debate shows. Nobody's talking about anything else in the NBA. There is not one debate show right now that doesn't have half the segment dedicated to the Warriors and trade rumors. You'll see this. This happens all the time. There are 8 teams interested in Jimmy Butler, and one of them is the Warriors. And then we talk about it for 7 minutes. LeBron James, where would he want to go? The Golden State Warriors. Sprinkle in some Giannis or some Vucevic or whatever you want. And then the Brooklyn thing comes out. Shams does the same thing. Multiple teams want to talk to the Brooklyn Nets about these 3 players. One of the teams is the Golden State Warriors. Why are there so many trade rumors out there? I believe at least one of the answers is that the Warriors feel they absolutely have to do something because they're just not good enough right now.
Right, and I don't think that as you get deeper into this process, I don't think that Kuminga necessarily has to be a part of it. So, yeah, you're showcasing him because he's playing well, but you're playing him because he's playing well and he's helping you win basketball games. Even though you're 2-4 since he was out due to injury and he's averaging 19.5 in those games, he's been playing well over the course of the last month or so. I don't necessarily think that you have to make a trade that involves Kuminga, and you might get to the end of the year and realize, man, Kuminga really helped us this year, and we got to the playoffs, and we won a series, and Kuminga was great, and then some team offers him $40 million, and you let him go at that point. You don't have to trade him at the deadline or realize that you've kind of blown it, because if he's playing this well, he can be a player who helps you win and helps you get to where you want to get this year.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Get back to Kuminga here in just a second, but from the files of this is sure pretty interesting. North Carolina and ex-Patriots head coach Bill Belichick are done, finalizing an agreement to come together. Belichick is back in the game, just not the one we thought. He's going to college football to coach the North Carolina Tar Heels.
I love it. It's a great move for him because, you know, if worst comes to worst, he can find his next girlfriend there.
Oh, wow. That was wow.
Hilarious is what it is. She's 24.
Why does
she could be a grad student?
Why is everyone, first of all, so triggered by that? And why is
I'm
that,
not triggered by it. No, it was a perfect opportunity for a one-liner.
No, Steiny
I took the opportunity.
Yeah, that was.
And I nailed it.
I disagree. It was a little hot. That could have been maybe line two, maybe 2 minutes down the road, something like that. Why is everyone?
I have no issue with
why
it.
Why is everyone's brain go straight
there? When you're dating a 24-year-old and you go to coach at a college institution, it becomes a fertile ground for your own dating environment.
Who's the dirtier old man? The guy who does it or the guy who can't stop thinking about somebody else doing it? I mean, my gosh. Anyway,
I do have a real question. If you were Bill Belichick, would you rather coach North Carolina, a college team, or the Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams?
North Carolina, because you can do more with NIL and you can be more impactful immediately with your name and the money that he's immediately going to garner. North Carolina alums are going to pump so much money into that program that he can then pay all the players that he wants to get. Much easier fix at Carolina.
I'd answer the Bears. I'll tell you why coming up next, but let's also get your phone calls all set up. Do you think the Warriors actually believe in Jonathan, or are they just angling for a trade? Is this all a showcase? We'll take some calls. 888-957-9570. Greg Cosell in 45 minutes. We're sponsored by Bay Area Fast Track. On January 1st, tolls on the Antioch Bridge will go up $1. Don't wait for the invoice. Pay tolls automatically with Fast Track. Most convenient way to pay tolls. Get started at BayAreaFastTrack.org. It's Willard and Dibs.
Bay Area, it's Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We'll get back to Kuminga, Greg Cosell in 45 minutes. I want to, look, we promised to answer that question in full. You said, because Bill Belichick, the breaking news, he is going to coach North Carolina. And Lucas said, what would you rather do, coach North Carolina or the Bears? And I know he just used the example of the Bears partially because they have the number one overall pick in the draft at quarterback. But it might have been any number of teams. It might have been the Dallas Cowboys,
for
example.
That's a good one, yeah.
The San Francisco 49ers, once Kyle Shanahan gets traded to the Bears, for example.
Right.
I'm kidding on the last one, but I would much, much rather coach the Chicago Bears or, quite frankly, any NFL team than a college team. I understand the point you're getting at, but, man, it's a bigger job. College recruiting, college boosters, year-round, the glad-handing, the politics that goes with college football, especially if I were in my 70s, good Lord, not for me. Not for me. In the NFL, you coach football. That's what you're asked to do. You're the football coach. And yes, that is a year-round job too, to a certain degree. There's the draft, there's contracts, all of that. But I'm not saying it's not stressful. Look at Kyle Shanahan's beard. But that said, you get to coach football. When you're doing it in college, there are 1,000 different things that you have to do that have nothing to do with X's and O's, and they all would make my brain hurt.
Well, it's more now than just X's and O's in college football. It's dollar signs. And I do think that when you're Bill Belichick and you go to North Carolina, you walk in on campus and immediately the money starts pouring in to support your program, because now we can just flat out pay for players in college football. Yeah. So if you're Bill and you've got that name cachet, you don't have to go on every recruiting visit. The very fact that your minions are going to be out there doing your bidding, your assistants, your grad assistants, your boosters or whoever else, it's like, yeah, Bill really likes you. You're a 4-star, you're a 5-star. We've got money for you. I do think that he automatically has 5 or 6 gigantic advantages just by being Bill Belichick. And Deion Sanders, I think, has kind of benefited from a lot of that himself.
Yeah,
now, I don't think that he's navigated it the way that I would. And, you know, Deion's going to do it his way. But the name value, and he immediately turned Colorado into a thing.
Right, but Deion Sanders is cool, man. He's got, like, so much cool factor and can handle the tension and just owns every room in which he sits. And his son is the quarterback and all of these things that Bill Belichick does not have. Like
Bill's got the gravitas of being a winner.
Yeah,
and being seen as maybe the greatest football coach ever.
But he was a colossal bore until he got out of coaching and got into the media. And I would imagine he's going to go back to being a colossal bore now. Well, man, we're on to Duke. Okay, like
that's a four.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
Nobody like
they actually might play Cincinnati. That actually works.
You're going to give Bill Bell North Carolina football? I don't even know if their students care.
Like, well, they do now.
Nah, but I
they
see. I don't know. It's not to me a fun comp to what Dion has done in terms of name value. But dude, you ain't prime time. You're Bill. You're Bill, the 70-something year old.
Right.
Who
he appeals to is the boosters.
So I get that.
The money flies in, and he's able to use that money to go out there and players. And
he could give it. I mean, the money, right? He's got money. He's got money, and he would have resources no matter where he
is. Right. But North Carolina football, I'm sure, in terms of NIL, I don't even know if they have anybody that they pay. And they're going to now because Bill is there and, you know, Bill's going to amass a staff of younger people who are more exciting. And if I'm him and I really want to get back into it again, college football is an easy landing spot because you do whatever, 3 or 5 years, whatever you want to do. It's a no-lose situation.
Well, unless you wanted to be in the NFL again, 3 or 5 years from now, he's going to be almost 80. Like, again, do what you want to do. I'm just answering the question of which would I rather do. But Bill Belichick, if you're just joining us, is now the head coach at North Carolina. And I'm not talking about the Panthers. Like, they just finalized this. Bill is going back to college. We have some people that want to weigh in this on the phones. We'll go there in a second. Here's a secondary question. I take from this that he wasn't feeling good about what the prospects were in the NFL, and I'd love to ask why. Like, he already went through one cycle where I think he thought he might get a gig and didn't, and now another cycle is a mere month.
It's underway.
It's a mere month away, if maybe even less, and Bill must not have liked where things were heading, because we all damn well know that any one of these teams, if the Jaguars or if the Cowboys, if Jerry,
the Raiders,
if he knew he was going to fire Mike McCarthy and wanted Belichick, he can make that call right now and just let him know, dude, hang out. You be a head coach Dallas Cowboys.
Think about all those situations.
He must not be getting those calls.
Let's just say that he is getting those calls.
All right.
And I would look at each situation and I would see so many things about it that is broken. Start with Dallas. You got to work for Jerry Jones. And Bill is a guy who wants to do it his way. Jerry wants to do it his way. Yeah. So Bill and Jerry doesn't work. The Raiders. You're going to go work for P.F. Chang's and the mullet. And a team that has no quarterback.
No, you're
and a team that is so broken.
You're going to work for your former quarterback. The owner is now Tom Brady.
Kind of.
I mean, he's one of them.
Really.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's
the Raiders are an absolute disaster. They're an embarrassment. They're a mess.
So go fix it.
Chicago, you drafted a quarterback, and he's not very good.
I don't know that yet.
I'm telling you what I say. And what I see from the outside, Caleb Williams is not very good.
He certainly doesn't get as long as Jonathan Kuminga, apparently. We already know Caleb Williams is not good.
I think that Jonathan he's fine. Kuminga's done more than...
My point is that you're not giving Caleb even a full season?
I'll give it to him, but if I'm Bill Belichick and I look at Caleb Williams, I don't want to sign on for that. A guy who is...
Interesting.
He's a rookie quarterback, which means I'm going to have him for at least 2 more years, and I don't think that Caleb's very good.
Okay.
And that organization has been broken. They haven't done very well in 45 years, and Jacksonville, we've already talked about Trevor Lawrence as a guy who he now is paid, and maybe he's not as good as everyone would have thought. And what are the other openings? I look at the NFL openings, and those are all going to be projects in 2 to 3 years. New Orleans is going to be open, right?
And North Carolina's not?
In college, you can turn it around a lot faster.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
With the portal and with NIL, you can turn a program around in 3 months.
I think you can do the same in the NFL. Look what Washington's doing right now. Barry in Burlingame wants to talk. Hey, Barry, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. I got to say, what is he, 14 wins away from catching Shula? 14 or 15? That is what makes my jaw drop at this, because I really believed that he really wanted that record. Either he's going to do this almost as a dare to other NFL teams, and maybe after a year or two, like when he's not 80, as you said a second ago, maybe he then goes back. But I'm a little flabbergasted by that. And the other thing I'm flabbergasted by is this isn't the Big Ten. This isn't the SEC. I mean, the ACC is just not, if it was a basketball program, and he was a basketball coach, okay. But ACC football is not, I mean, that league was on the verge of collapsing. And then my last point about this is, if I'm a 17-year-old kid, is Bill Belichick, like, point one have you made about whether or not it's going to be, you know, an offensive coordinator who's in the home of a quarterback, for example? Like, is Bill Belichick really the guy that is going to be that alluring? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting question, I think. Barry, thanks, because think about how many former New England Patriots have now come forward and been like, playing for Bill is effective, but it's not fun. It's not fun. The Patriot way is not fun. You have to basically give up your life. Now, who wants to do that in college? To me, that would ring to those people even less. Now, I get what we're talking about. We're talking about Bill freaking Belichick here. So is there some cachet that is there in North Carolina now that wasn't there 20 minutes ago? Of course. Of course, I get that. But I'm with Barry. I'd love to see Belichick sit on a living room couch and hear his pitch to an 18-year-old to come play for him.
Yeah, the pitch is, you come play for me and I'll turn you into an NFL player. I know the NFL. Huh? I've won in the NFL.
Sure.
And
no, that's a good answer.
And the other thing about the ACC, that's where you go if you're looking to elevate a program, because the ACC is pretty wide open. Clemson is not what they once were, and the rest of the teams in that conference aren't very good. So you can take a team like North Carolina, 6-6 this year, 3-5 in the conference, not very good, with a certain amount of an injection of talent. You can turn that program around in a hurry, and the ACC is going to be a one-bid team in this now 12-team college football playoff. So for me, that's where you go. You don't go into the SEC and take over Vanderbilt and try to rework that and go up against Tennessee and Georgia and A&M and Alabama. You go to the ACC, where it's basically a bunch of weak sisters.
You know what that means, by the way. Bill Belichick's coming to town.
I can't wait.
Cal Stanford, ACC.
Yeah, North Carolina. I think, do they come here this year?
I don't know. I mean, I figured that they, at some point soon, he's going to visit one of them. I know you don't play everybody every year.
Do you know who the current coach of North Carolina is? Because I looked it up and I had no idea.
If you asked me, if you said, give me as many D1 coaches as you could name in the whole country,
yeah,
I would struggle to get to five.
What if I gave you a hint? Former great coach of Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, is Mack Brown?
Steve Sarkisian.
What?
Mack Brown.
Okay.
It is Mack Brown.
Like, wait a minute. No, I know Sark's not.
What if I told you Mack Brown?
Steve Sarkisian's one of the four that I could name.
What if I told you that Mack Brown has been there for 6 years?
Ugh. And that he's that program's all-time winningest head coach.
Oh, my God.
That is banana land.
I knew that he was the coach in North Carolina. I didn't know that he was still the coach in North Carolina. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, they've just been mediocre for like 6 years now.
Well, and Freddie Kitchens, is taking over for the bowl game.
Yeah, true. All right. Anyway, fascinating. If nothing else, like, put that in the fascinating column.
What if I told you that this is Mack Brown's second stint at North Carolina? Which is why he's the all-time winningest coach, Grandy. I didn't remember the first go-round in the 90s.
Oh, neither did I. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Good for him.
He survived back-to-back 1-10 years.
And those two wins have helped him be the all-time winningest coach.
Back-to-back 1-10 years, and they kept him around for 8 more years, which tells you how low stakes this North Carolina job is.
Exactly.
And by the way, we don't know the date exactly yet, but North Carolina does come to Cal in 2025.
There you go.
Yep. Stanford goes there next year.
And will Pat McAfee be there with people kicking field goals or what? Come on. Cal versus North Carolina? Belichick smoking a doobie? Who's not showing up for that?
And we're on to the Hate Ashbury. You like that joke better than my other one?
I do.
I liked it. I stand behind it.
Yeah, it wasn't as easy.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. All right, Bill Belichick is coaching North Carolina. Greg Cosell is coming on in a half hour. We've largely been talking Warriors and trades and Jonathan Kuminga and this comment from Anthony Slater on the roast this morning on 95.7 The Game.
This is like information season right now for the Warriors on Jonathan Kuminga, and not just for the Warriors. It's for Kuminga to find out who he is in the league. The Warriors need to find out. The league needs to find out. He has a contract situation coming up. The trade market's going to develop. And, you know, you might even argue I think most people would argue they've waited too long to find out more about Jonathan Kuminga. But I think Steph Curry and Draymond Green want to know for, you know, several reasons. Can he be, you know, all the way up to the playoff level, like the type of number two scorer that they're going to need to compete in the first round, second round, third round? Or, you know, is it wiser for him to maybe go explore that elsewhere? And could he potentially be a trade piece at the deadline? I think we are going to find out more over the next couple months, partly because they finally, you know, let off the brake pedal a little bit, and they're going to allow us to all find out more about it.
I have a prediction on how this is all going to play out, because, by the way, we are going to reach Brandon Ayuk levels of exhaustion if every day all of us content creators out there are going to be talking about Jonathan Kuminga and Warriors trades every day until February. What is it, 5th, 10th?
Somewhere in there. Yep.
If we're going to do this every day, literally, we're going to ruin the holidays. But I think that there's two separate conversations that are happening at the same time right now.
February 6th, by the way.
Yep. All right. Good Lord. We're not doing this every day. To me, Kuminga is part of sort of his own journey as we head toward February to figure out whether or not the Warriors actually want to sign him long-term, or if they want to package him to try to do something to help them down the stretch of this particular season. Meantime, I think there's something else that the Warriors need to do immediately, and it's probably along the lines of what you talked about yesterday. I would sit here and predict today, I'd love for them to get Cam Johnson. I'd love for there to be a big Brooklyn Nets trade. But the reality is, with all of the financial constraints and everything going on, you probably need to do a smaller trade with the Brooklyn Nets. And that D'Anthony Melton contract in exchange for Dennis Schroeder, it's just too easy. It works too well. And so I think you brought that up yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think I'm with you in terms of predicting that I would bet that happens, maybe even here in this month of December.
And if that happens, that would tell me that they believe that what they have on this roster is good enough to make a run. And they may be right. If Kuminga is this player, if Kuminga is 25 to 30 minutes of explosive wing and getting better, if Wiggins is healthy and productive as he has been for the most part, and then you have Steph and Dre and all the other pieces, and you just replace an injured Melton with a feisty Dennis Schroeder, and you think, okay, this is enough for us to make a run, then let's go ahead and do that. Let's do it early. Let's get it done. And if you do use the Melton contract, like you were talking about yesterday, that's a really good chip in a lot of different deals. But if you just want to do a straight line, one for one, take our contract, give us your body, and let's go forward, that would tell me that they believe in Jonathan Kuminga, at least for this year.
Let's go to Nils on the 5 freeway. Hey, Nils, what's cooking?
Hey, appreciate you guys. Love the show. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, man, thanks.
I'm stoked to get in on the Warrior talk. Have you seen the movie Basketball?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm a no on that one, yeah. but I know the movie. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, of course, it's like a raunchy sort of B-movie from back in the day, but, you know, it's about these guys who start their own sports league, and it all starts with this trope of how sports have kind of become corporate, and it's all about, you know, teams changing cities, right? Like the Minnesota Lakers moving to Los Angeles where they have no lakes, and the New Orleans Jazz moving to Utah where they don't allow music. But Yeah, I guess what I want to say is, you know, I'm more in the camp of chilling out and not focusing on a big urgent trade. People were talking about trading for superstars this morning, and you know, yeah, sure, I can sort of hold my nose and open my heart to Dennis Schroeder, kind of like I did with Chris Paul. But yeah, I'm definitely like a hard pass on a big sort of blockbuster showstopper trade. And I'm into developing players over the long term. That's what I want to cheer for as a Warrior fan. You know, it's easy to say that with iconic Steph here on our team, but I want to cheer for a team and get to know the people as community members and have them stick around. Like big hits on, like, you know, drafting TJD and Pods and, you know, people like GP2 and Looney. Like, I want to keep them. Don't put them on the table, man. Those are like my cousins here. And you know, as for JK, yeah, like, it is his own journey. Like, maybe he'll be a better fit somewhere else. You know, I love seeing where when Eric Congo takes off and you know, dunks. I love that. You know, it's great. But yeah, if he has to go, you know, Wiggs, I want to keep him too and see what happens. But we've been supporting our brother through a couple of hard years, and you know, he lost his pops and all this. You know, I see him coming back. But the main thing I guess I want to say is, you know, I trust Kerr, and I'd rather see a team develop with role players and hard work and grit. And like, the thing that would benefit them more than any other trade would be just a couple days in the gym shooting free throws. You know what I mean? And maybe take a vacation, have movie nights together, like build that team. So that's what I got for today. I love you all. Appreciate you.
Mills, thanks, yeah, man.
Thank
appreciate
you. Free
it.
Throws and movie night. I like it, Mills. It feels like a JV team to me in high school, but
say,
I love it.
I'd love to hire Mills to coach my son. My son's 10. I'm not sure about a Golden State Warriors squad, but I get where Nils is coming from. He's someone that gets emotionally attached to players that are homegrown, and that's fine. I think that's beautiful. That's wonderful. I would just say to Nils, we say this all the time, your ideas are well taken. I just don't think Steph Curry and Draymond Green would be too into him. They're not activated by the idea of, let's hang out, let's just build people and think about the future and where it's going. Like, they're desperate to do something this year or next, and then I don't even really know how many more years there are of those two players together after that. And so that's what's in play here. Those two things don't always match up. So I don't know. I get it. Here's the good news for Nils. If you're against the idea of a big name trade with the Warriors, I think you're going to win. Because I just don't think there's a realistic play out there.
Trades are hard.
They're very hard, and even harder is the finances behind them. The problem with Jonathan Kuminga in a trade is that he only makes $7 million, and he is definitely better than a $7 million player.
Yeah.
So if you're shipping him out, you've got to attach something else to him, and the only tradable large contract the Warriors have is Andrew Wiggins. So, and I know what most of you would say, and I'd agree with you, you'd scoff at the idea of giving up both of them for almost anyone. Like, it would have to be Giannis. You don't want to give both of them up for Jimmy Butler, do you? Is anyone raising their hand for that? Kuminga and Wiggins for Jimmy Butler?
No.
But that's what it's going to take.
Well, and as Grady was pointing out earlier, if you do a 4-for-1 trade, then you're going to have to find other players to fill the roster, and so you may not have the financial room to even do that. So for me, the idea about a big trade is much more likely in the offseason than it is to do something at the deadline.
Presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Again, do you believe the Warriors believe in Kuminga, or are they showcasing him? 888-957-9570. Plus, since we brought up the Butler conversation, Anthony Slater had some unbelievable stuff to say about that potential pursuit this morning. We'll have that for you next in Greg Cosell in 20 minutes. It's Willard and Dibs.